is now the time that we come to bring our tithes and offerings to our great God. So we'll continue to do that right now. Stand.
Christ.
Father, we truly, truly need you. This is the one song that I disagree with in the sense that we don't need you every hour. We need you every second. Lord, you are what we need. We praise you, Father, that you provide yourself to us. You allow us to know you and to see you better and better every day. So, Father, we stand in awe of who you are and who we are. But, Father, we are yours, and we thank you for those promises. We need you, Father. We just thank you for that, Lord. And as we come to pray for Chris and his ministers and he brings your word to us, Lord, we just pray that, Lord, that your word would be just that, would just be the water, the living water that we need, again, every second of our lives. So, Lord, may this, your word, bless Chris. May we have ears to hear you, Father, a heart to love you more, Father. So we ask these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
The hope-filled kids, may the Lord bless you there as you find out and discover more of his great love and mercy towards you. For the rest of us, would you please turn in your Bibles? It will always help if you've got a Bible open during the service, as we tend to go through most of the passages. So Isaiah chapter 35, and this is a beautiful picture that we have in the passage. I think as you look at this this passage, it really begs a question and answers a question. Can people change in life? I'm sure you've all looked at people in your own families. Maybe when you go on vacation, you visit them, and you see their behavior and their attitude, and you wonder, can they change? You may look in the mirror and ask the question about yourself. Maybe there's things in your life that you are struggling with. And you ask the question, can I ever be different? Can I ever change? Well, this is a good place to be then today, because this is a truly beautiful piece of scripture, beautifully written by Isaiah. It stood the test of time, and in very poetic and graphical pictures of gardens that are just flourishing with beautiful flowers, it wants to paint the picture of abundance. You got that right there at the beginning of the chapter. And then to really even appreciate that picture of abundance, you got to appreciate the contrast Isaiah paints straight away with a desert and burning hot sands and contrasting these two images together, because chapter 34 was all about the desert place. And now we're in one of these beautiful gardens. If you go to a huge estate like Biltmore House up in the Carolinas, and you see the gardens, and where I come from, almost every castle has these walled gardens that are beautifully maintained, and there's just a serenity and a peace and a beauty about them. And that image, wilderness to abundance, is a transition, and therefore it paints the picture. Can we change? Yes, we can. That God is in the process of taking people who feel like they're living and going through a wilderness, who are almost dying of thirst, to a place of abundance and blessing. And so he gives this promise in the light of that possibility, the light of that ultimate transition from earth to heaven even. He's giving you a promise in verse 4. That's to give you strength for your journey from today to that final day and the world that is to come. And so he says there in verse 3, strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. So if you sense your weakness, if you sense your fearfulness, then you're in a good place today before God's word and his Holy Spirit. And so to claim that promise, to be able to live it out in our lives, you see several things coming together in this passage. We see here a calling to change our direction, a changing direction in our lives. We see that life is very much pictured, secondly, as a journey. And then thirdly, you see the end of the journey towards the end of this passage. Let's look at these things and how they bring to us then that promise of strength and fearlessness every step of that way. So changing direction. Verse 4 brings us that promise, and it says very clearly, it all comes down to a key thing. You have to have a new focus in life if you're going to change direction in life. And that focus is verse 4, where it talks about seeing God. Read verse 4 again. It says to us, do not fear, your God will come. And then verse 5, then will the eyes of the blind be opened. You have to be able to see that the language there is behold, behold your God. Because God is invading the picture. He's invading our lives. He was invading ancient Israel's history in Isaiah's day. That's why he was giving them this image of hope. It's very much language of a new exodus. As God had come to Israel at the beginning of their history, so after Isaiah's day, he was telling them, you'll be in another exile in Babylon, but God will come to you again, and you will behold him, you will see him, and he will rescue you again. He will take you out of that exile, and it'll be like a second exodus, and it will be even greater than the first, because its eyes and its promises are going all the way to the end of life, to the end of God's plan of salvation, and getting a glimpse here in the latter verses of a world yet to come. Something greater than any promised land in Israel. Greater than any land of blessing that you'll ever find on this earth. Greater than your move to Florida to escape the cold and the snow of the north. Greater than any transition that you'll find in this earth. There is the transition between this earth and the heavens and above yet to come. And how do you see it? You see it when you see God, when he walks into your life and you can know him and you can see him. And that is what transforms the whole story here. And then if you look in verse 5 and 6, you see and understand more specifically how we can see God and know God. Verse 5, it says, then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Where have we seen that? When did that happen in human history? When people who were born with blindness could see. When people who could not speak suddenly had the power to speak. There was one time in history when we got a glimpse of a world free of disease and handicap and blindness, when disease was being banished because God came down and walked on this earth 2,000 years ago in the person of Jesus Christ, that you today have a glimpse of what the world to come will be like, a world free of misery, suffering, handicap, disease, all of that. Where you will have a body, but it'll be perfect. Where you'll have your spirit and your soul fused forever with that body, but your soul will be sinless. All because 2,000 years ago, our God came. The Creator revisited this earth, and he brought healing and power through his touch. And that is what Isaiah is prophesying, the coming of Jesus, and that is an essential column in the bridge that takes us from his times and our times all the way to the very end of times. Transformation is possible because Christ has come into this world. And as you hear of him, as you read him in the pages of Scripture, he can come and change the person who's reading those pages. He walks off the pages of Scripture to this very day. And he enters into our life and he transforms us. And you see the impact here in very poetic language. Again, if you contrast it with chapter 34, you got the mention of a wilderness and cities that were turned into ruins and became the haunt of jackals, wild animals. But now read verse 7, you see the transformation. You got verse 7 saying the burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground, bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. There's a graphic image of transformation.